Samano Swasarudha.
Samano Swasarudha.
Vinir Dhuta Mano Malau. Shirna Parnani Lahara. Upashantena Chitasa. Matat Kaman Abib Santao. Madaranam Ihatu. Varsha Vatata Pahima. Garma Kala Gunananu. Samano Swasarodha. Vinir Dhuta Mano Malau. Shirna Parnani Lahara. Upashantena Chitasa. Matat Kaman Abib Santao. Madadadanam Ihatuhu. Varshavata Tapahima. Karma Kala Gunananu. Samano Swasarodha. Nirduta Mano Malau. Shirna Parnani Laharav. Upashantena Chetasa. Mata Kamana Bip Santau. Mad Aradhanam Ihatu. Garshavata Tapahima. Karma Kala Gunananu. Shvasarudha. Vidhuta Mano Malau. Shirna Parnani Laharav. Santo Aradhanam Ihatu. Varshavata Tapahima. Karma Kala Gunananu. Sahamano Swasarudha. Dhuta Mano Malau. Parnani Laharav. Upashantena Chetasa. Matakamana Bipsantau. Madanam Ihatuhu. Varshavata Tapahima. Karma Gunananu. Samano Swasarodha. Vinirduta Mano Malau. Shirna Parnani Laharav. Matakamanabhipsanto Madaradanamihatuhu Varsha
Virain
Vata
Strong wind
Atopa
Strong sunshine
Hima
Severe cold
Gardama
Heat
Kalagunananu
According to seasonal changes
Sahamanao
By enduring
Shwasarodha
By practicing yoga
Controlling the breath
Vinirduta
The dirty things accumulated in the mind were completely washed away.
Manak Malao
The mind became clean.
Free from material contamination.
Shirna
Rejected dry.
Parna
Leaves from the trees.
Onila
And wind.
Air, it says. An air.
Aharao
Eating.
Upashantina
Peaceful.
Chetasa
With a fully controlled mind.
Mataha
From me.
Kamanapipsantao
Desiring to beg some benediction.
Mat
My
Aradhanam
Worship.
Ihatuhu.
You both executed.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
My dear father and mother, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat and severe cold, suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons. By practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed from your mind all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worshipped me with peaceful minds.
Purport.
Vasudeva and Devaki did not obtain the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son very easily. Nor does the Supreme Godhead accept merely anyone as his father and mother. Here we can see how Vasudeva and Devaki obtained Krishna as their eternal son. In our own lives, we are meant to follow the principles indicated herewith for getting good children. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to get Krishna as his son, but at least one can get very good sons and daughters for the benefit of human society. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that if human beings do not follow the spiritual way of life, there will be an increase of Varna Sankara population. Population begotten like cats and dogs. And the entire world will become like hell. Not practicing Krishna consciousness, but simply encouraging artificial means to check the population, will be futile. The population will increase and it will consist of varna sankara, unwanted progeny. It is better to teach people how to beget children, not like hogs and dogs, but in controlled life. Human life is meant not for becoming a hog or dog, but for tapo, divyam, transcendental austerity. Everyone should be taught to undergo austerity, tapasya. Although it may not be possible to undergo tapasya, like that of Krishna and Sutapa, the Shastra has given an opportunity for a method of tapasya very easy to perform, the Sankirtana movement. One cannot expect to undergo tapasya to get Krishna as one's child, but simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kirtanadeva Krishna Siya, one can become so pure that one becomes free from all the contamination of this material world, mukta sangaha, and goes back home, back to Godhead, param vrajet. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is teaching people not to adopt artificial means of happiness, but to take the real path of happiness as prescribed in the Shastra, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and become perfect in every aspect of material existence. Artificial means of happiness. People have a very foolish concept of what will make them happy and successful. They're raised up as children in a family, and their parents impress upon them the importance of doing the same thing. Getting an education, getting a good job, getting married, and having another family, and increasing the population that way. This is the programming of the material nature. The conditioned souls are programmed with these urges, and one of them is the urge for procreation. And that is required biologically for the preservation of the species. But this is found in the animals and even lower species of life. The urge for procreation. This should not be considered the primary purpose of life. Not for human beings. Cats and dogs can fill the gutters with their litters. The pigs can have, and the rabbits can produce, much better progeny, much more extensive progeny than human beings. They have bigger families and they have less difficulty in raising them than we do. Human beings have other purposes. Foolish human beings don't recognize it. They're grihavrata. They're just only interested in maintaining their families and increasing them. Vasudeva and Devaki are not at all like that, even though they are grihasthas. They are living in household life, but they are transcendentally situated in their consciousness. They are fit to become the parents of Krishna. Prabhupada warns us in the purport that we cannot expect this, to have Krishna as our child. It is foolish and offensive for a neophyte devotee to expect that Krishna is going to appear as his child, any more than you can expect to be invited to join the rasa dance. Keep a sari in your closet just in case you get a phone call to come join the rasa dance. One step less foolish than that is to think that Krishna is going to come and become your son. This madhurya rasa requires extreme qualification. Not everybody is going to receive a phone call at midnight on your mobile phone. Please come join the rasa dance. We're not ready for it. And similarly, we're not ready to become Krishna's parents. We're not in the consciousness. We're not pure enough yet. Maybe someday, if that's what we aspire for. We can become Krishna's parents, but not in our present condition. So more practical, if you're in the business of procreating, to hope that you can get some good sons and daughters, especially good sons and daughters who will be proper Vaishnavas. Prabhupada's talking a little more generally in the purport. Good sons and daughters for the benefit of human society. So they might even, apart from the Vaishnavas, at least civilized human beings. Your children should at least be civilized. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, maybe Vaishyas, Shudras, but decent people. They should get some spiritual training at least. We see that in their previous lives, Devaki and Vasudeva voluntarily underwent very severe austerities. We can't even imagine living like that. You know, if we don't get, you know, whatever we think we need to eat, you know, if we don't get our sabji and our chapatis, or if someone needs a big pile of rice, depending on our conditioning.
Yeah.
If I don't get that, then I'm starving to death. But look at them. Devaki and Vasudeva, they were living on air and dry leaves for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. Not much variety in their diet. Pretty dry. Air and leaves. Dry leaves. And they happily accepted that difficulty because they had great determination to prepare themselves, to make themselves fit to become Krishna's parents. Maybe not as extremely, but similarly, we have to prepare ourselves to become Krishna's servants in one role or another. And that requires tapo divyam. This phrase is Prabhupada is lifting from a very famous shloka of his that he would often give class about. I remember being in Hawaii, and Prabhupada gave lecture on that verse and the following verses in that chapter. And then Prabhupada, at the end of the month, went to Los Angeles and started the same chapter again. Gave lectures on that verse and the verses following it again in Los Angeles. This was in 1976. The verse spoken by first verse of Rishabhdev, instructions to his 100 sons. Nayam deho dehabhajam viloke kashtam kaman arhate vidbujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena satvam shudyed yasmad brahmasokyam tvanantam. This human life shouldn't be wasted living just for sense gratification, in the same way as the dogs and the pigs live. Rather, kashtam kama, this pursuance of sense gratification, is just a miserable life, full of frustration and trouble. The more you strive for sensory enjoyment and the subtle aspects of it, respect, power, control, the more you suffer. You have to. It is the law of nature. You resist the laws of nature, you will suffer the reactions. There's tension. If you try to go against the current, then of course your swimming will be difficult. So going against the laws of nature means you will struggle and you will suffer. Rather, in the second half of the verse, the recommendation is given, tapo divyam. One should accept transcendental austerity. My dear sons, this is fatherly recommendation. If you really want to be happy in life, I recommend you do this. Accept, voluntarily accept, some trouble for the higher purpose of perfecting your spiritual life. Yena satvam shudyed. By which your consciousness and your very existence, bodily, mental, intellectual, will all become purified of its contamination. Yasma brahma sokam tarantam. And in a purified state, you can achieve eternal spiritual happiness. Brahma sokyam tu anantam. Unending. The happiness you can get in the pursuit of sense gratification is ending. It ends soon or it ends later, but it ends. But the spiritual pleasure is unending. Anantam. Tapo divyam. Tapas. Plenty of people are undergoing tapas. A lazy person avoids tapas, avoids any trouble. And maybe his karma allows it. You know, he's allowed for some period of time to take a break from working hard. But then he'll be cast down into a lower species of life where he'll be struggling for his survival from moment to moment. But for now, he has it easy. Then he avoids austerity. But many people are undergoing austerity, voluntarily or involuntarily, taking so much trouble, undergoing severe disciplines. The materialist, who to make a lot of money, works very hard. He drives 150 miles, 200 kilometers in the morning. You know, people commute from Pennsylvania to New York City. Sometimes they go in helicopters. Or they drive their car over 150 miles, 200 kilometers, to go to work. And the work is not pleasant in Manhattan, filthy place. And then they have to go home again, the 250 kilometers, 150 miles back home again, just to make some money. This is tapas. This is severe, severe austerity. And you may consider it voluntary. The man is doing it because he wants to. He wants to make money. He wants to make his family happy. He wants to become successful. Okay, he chose it. You can call it also voluntary. But it's not divya. It's not progressive. It's not auspicious. It's inauspicious tapas. Tapas, Prabhupada singled out especially, austerities taken for political purposes, is demoniac. And he didn't name any names, but he was actually talking about Gandhi, who underwent these satyagrahas, fasting until death unless he got what he wanted. Now, for political purposes. Satyagraha, adhering to the truth. But he was adhering to a relative political truth. Kick the British out so the Indians could take over their own country. So they did it. They got their own country. And now Gandhi is glorified on the back of every monetary note. On the front, his picture is there. Everybody worships him and nobody follows what he taught. But his aim was political. India got its independence, and things are just as bad and worse than they were when the British were here. In Vrindavan, the British built a sewage system in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, to take the sewage outside of the city and put it and leave it out in the field somewhere. It was a rational, well-designed sewage system. But when the British left, it broke down. And they diverted the same sewage because the pipes broke down. The system was disrupted. So they just diverted all the same sewage into the Jamuna River. That's the benefits of Indians in independence. That all their sewage is being dumped into the holy rivers because they can't manage things intelligently. It was a material purpose, and therefore the benefits were actually negative. That's asura tapas. So much trouble to get your independence, and now you're worse off than you were before. Tapo divyam, for a transcendental purpose, taking some trouble. We should not be so much interested in austerity just for its own sake. We should be interested in whatever austerity will increase our attraction to Krishna and our ability to do his service. If we take some austerity, some vrat, that makes us unable to do service, then what's the use of it? We should increase our service. We should take vows and austerities that will help us remember Krishna more, not sleep and dream about eating. So, Tapo Divyam. We're told by Srila Prabhupada, and he's just repeating what his predecessors have recommended, the kind of austerities that are appropriate for becoming more Krishna conscious. Observance of the Ekadasi fast, celebrating Krishna's birthday and other festivals, following these four regulative principles that we promise to follow when we take initiation. This is Tapo Divyam. And this is hard enough for us. We don't have to add so many extra things on to the list. Just for the sake of being able to take pride in being great tapasvis, because being tapasvi is not our first business. Tapasvi bhyodi ko yogi, a real yogi, a devotee, is superior to an ordinary ascetic or tapasvi. Just whatever will help us become more Krishna conscious. To think better about Krishna and to serve Krishna better. That austerity we should take. Living a regulated life. You know, going early to bed. Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So that kind of austerity, living a simple, regulated life. We chant Hare Krishna, but we should focus on chanting Hare Krishna in the first part of the day. When we wake up, we should do our ablutions and chant. And we should try to get our prescribed chanting done early so that we're able to spend the day doing some useful service. If we get up late or get involved in some other activity other than chanting in the Brahma Muhurta hour before breakfast, we're doing other business besides chanting, our rounds are not done and they stretch on the whole day. And we're just mumbling our rounds while, you know, wandering around trying to do something, but we're half in the round mode and half in the doing something mode. And neither we chant our rounds nicely now, neither do we get anything done effectively. And we're in anxiety for the rest of the day not having our rounds done. This is, you know, so the Tapo Divyam, the useful transcendental austerity, is to get up early, do your rounds early, and be spiritually fit for the rest of the day, for whatever is required. You can, if you want, you know, if it's appointed to you, you can spend the rest of the day chanting more rounds, but whatever. Yeah. Some devotees have been given the assignment to chant 24 hours a day, and some have been given the assignment to chant 16 rounds and work hard the rest of the day. Whatever it is, the first 16 rounds should be done early. That's Tapo Divyam. We can't imitate Vasudeva and Devaki, but we can follow in their footsteps by also accepting the trouble to regulate ourselves voluntarily so we can become actually attracted to Krishna, become useful for Krishna. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes, Jeremy?
You said that devotees don't take pride in performing austerities, such tapasas, so why do such a grand souls take to such great austerities?
They knew that it's not going to be easy to get Krishna to come and become their son. They took all that trouble just for that purpose. Just like the gopis performed Katyayani Vrata for a month. They had no other sankalpa, no other intention, but please let Krishna become our husband. That's all they wanted. So Devaki and Vasudeva just wanted to do whatever was required to get Krishna as their son. If Krishna wanted something else, they would have done that. But they understood that this was the best way to get Krishna to become their son. Otherwise, they would not have been interested in doing these things.
Usually Krishna says, not by the form of authorities, but bhakti amam vijayamati and so on, but only by bhakti, only by...
Well, but that means not by austerities, separate austerities. But devotional service also involves austerities. Devotional service is doing what Krishna wants. So if Krishna wants you to stand under the sun, you know, and bake, or stand in the freezing water, that's your service. Whatever Krishna wants. You may wonder, why does Krishna want me to do that? That's for him to decide. So austerity can be devotional service when Krishna decides he wants us to do it. Krishna's behind this. I don't know what communication he gave to Sutapa and Vrishni, how they got the idea this is what they're supposed to do. Maybe they heard from their gurus, or maybe Krishna directly told them, or maybe they just used their intelligence. It worked. They did the right thing and they got the right result. That's the proof. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hosaje. This is the highest duty for any human being, whatever it is, will awaken his Krishna consciousness, whatever it might be. In their case, it was doing severe austerity. But it's appropriate for them, because there's a big rishi and his qualified wife. What do rishis do best? They're professional austerity performers. That's their business, rishis. So they just were put to work doing what they do best. That was their service. If they were gyanis, they probably would have been directed to study the shastras. Or if there was something else, they'd be sent out to preach. But they were engaged according to their propensities to increase their Krishna consciousness. Yeah, meditation is common. It's a common means. You know, that almost everybody uses for becoming in Satya Yuga. Everybody's a meditator in Satya Yuga. It's like, you know, nowadays everybody watches television. You know, everybody does it. So everybody back then used to sit and meditate. Yeah. It's just something everybody did. So engaging the natural propensity for the higher purpose is a good idea. No, it doesn't. Maybe there's some comparison of the relative worth, you know. I don't even think so. How many mantras one should chant? I don't know if that's mentioned in Kali. It's only Kali Santara Upanishad is very short. I can look at it. I don't remember seeing that. But how many rounds you should chant depends on you know, on the particular sadhana you're following and under whose guidance. One guru will tell his disciples to chant a certain amount, another guru will tell his disciples a different amount.
I don't mean in a day, I mean, you mentioned that there's 3.5 crore times.
I don't know about that. Even that is not going to apply to everybody in all cases, that everyone's going to get the same results from chanting that number of rounds, or that everybody's supposed to chant that many. 3 crores would take 30 years, 40 years, I don't know. Okay, you should chant that more. And what's, I don't know what it says, what result you get from that. Yes, we should chant Hare Krishna for at least 30 or 40 years. Yeah, then we get it, after 40 years, we finally get a taste for it. I don't know what the Upanishad says. If it's that, something like that, I don't know. Okay, anything else? All right, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.